So, according to Asanga, it is vitally important that the practitioner is well grounded in firm conviction in supreme voidness. Which might kind of sound like the same as study. It might even sound like dogmatism, or like something you insist upon, or something you think out. But in fact, firm conviction, deep conviction, is the same as faith. It's an aspect of faith. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. As Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche says, expecting to attain realisation without having faith would be like sitting in a cave facing north, waiting for the sunshine to pour in. It will never happen. And as Dante says, faith, confidence, trust has to come first. It's the indispensable emotional or volitional element of any experience of insight into the nature of reality. For Swan Sang, faith is deep conviction about what is real, lucidity as to what has value, and longing for what is possible. These are listed in the Pali Canon, and you encounter them again and again and again. So as we know, Buddhism is full of lists. But life is rarely so obviously structured. Even so, having the view would mean taking our stand on a sustained interest in these descriptions being true, and testing them out by looking for them in our own experience, and recognising them, acknowledging them in our own experience if we find them there. So they're not imperatives or instructions, but ways of recognising what life is actually saying to us through our experiences. So deep conviction about what is real is an aspect of view, and it's also an aspect of faith. So what do we deeply know? What do we believe? What do we orient by? We all orient by something. Again, Padmasambhava says, faith arises when reading the sacred teachings of your inclination, as well as in lots of other ways. It's my advice to never be parted from the causes for faith to arise. It prevents the unfree states and earns the freedoms and riches. It makes you transcend objects of attachment and gain trust in total surrender. He says faith arises when causes and conditions coincide and you take impermanence to heart. Faith arises when remembering cause and effect. So according to Yeshe Gyaltsen, the object of this deep conviction is the law of karma. It is Pratitya Samuppada. That's what we must totally surrender to. What we must unconditionally accept. So fundamentally the view is faith in conditionality, in what Joanna Macy calls the spaciousness and workability of Pratitya Samuppada. So realising the openness and the consistency in life, and that it's pregnant with karma. So I've been exploring conditionality with the help of my next major recommendation, this book. Mutual Causality and General Systems Theory. Sounds great, huh? It's really, really fantastic. If you haven't already encountered it, Vajradarshini has been looking at it too. I'm sure you hear more from her. So buy this book. And more than that, read it. And study it. It's fascinating. What's it fascinating? Mutual Causality in Buddhism and General Systems Theory. That's good. Don't be put off. It's really exciting. So conditioned co-production is a deep analysis of reality. It leads us deep into the unknown territory of what our life is. So what does it say? I mean, it's so familiar in one sense, isn't it? How we hear about it, how we talk about it. But do we recognise it as our innermost happening? That's the point, really. That everything is radically impermanent, that everything is mutually conditioned, subsisting in relationship and having no independent self-existence. Well, this reminded me of John Donne. No man is an island entire to itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a man or friends of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. And more pugnaciously, but with just as much aspiration and recognition, is George Bernard Shaw. This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose recognised by yourself as a mighty one. The being thoroughly worn out before you're thrown on the scrap heap. The being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. Ouch. Unless we want to carry on being like that, or unless we want to be like that, it's essential that we immerse ourselves in trying to understand what this emptiness is we stand on.